Hare Krishna. So we heartily welcome His Holiness Bhakti Vasudeva Maharaj. Just a brief introduction. His Holiness Bhakti Vasudeva Maharaj is from Nigeria and he has been vigorously preaching in Africa and all over the world. And Maharaj is specially known for his publishing his papers in international conferences. So he has been in Delhi for the last 1 month or so, and we have been requesting him to please give us his association. And during the marathon month, he came once also and he just described how Prabhupada's books changed his life and how he came to Krishna consciousness. So he is very well known for his inspiring lectures and ecstatic kirtans. So we are very thankful to Maharaj for giving his wonderful association. I request all the devotees to switch off their mobile phones or put it on the silent mode. जिन भक्तों को कितने भक्तों को हिंदी में ट्रांसलेशन चाहिए अनुवाद चाहिए तो जो हिंदी में अनुवाद है वो पीछे फिर मंजन प्रभु करेंगे पीछे जहाँ चरणामृत पढ़ते हैं वहाँ पे आप जा सकते हैं और हिंदी में अनुवाद होगा तो सब भक्तों को धन्यवाद हरे कृष्ण
सो श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 6, chapter 17, text 9. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, chapter 17, text 9. The title of this chapter is Moral Poverty Curses Chitraketu. And it's all happening in ISKCON, Punjabi. So we go to the text. Narayana Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasa Tattu Jaya Mudire Nasta Praesa Bhadi Sunicham Bhagavata Seva Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavaiti Naistiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Sri Sukha Uvacha Sri Sukha Uvacha Bhagavan Api Bhagavan Api Tashrutva Bahasya Gada Dipa Tusmin Tusmin Babuvas Sadasi Sadhyas Chapta Anuvrataha Sisuka Huvacha Bhagavana Pitak Sutra Rahasya Gada Diripa Tusnim Babuvam Sadasi Sabhyas Chata Banu Rotaha Si Bhagavan Uvacha Bhagavan Pita Sutra I mean, Si Sukha Uvacha Bhagavana Pitta Sutra Ahasya Gana Dhiripa Tusni Bhappu Vasadasi Sabhyascha Tadmu Vrataha
Sri Shiva Vacha, Sri Shiva Vacha, Sri Shiva Vacha,
Just to come, just wait till I'll see you. Don't hide by the pillar. Is because sometimes we are criticized that in ISKCON we marginalize women. We don't want women to bring up their neck. But it's not true, and it's not supposed to be so. The way you treat your mother is the way you should treat every woman. The way you treat your mother is the way you should treat every female. Okay? And so we're not trying to marginalize. ISKCON is not a, this is an international society. It is not an institution for marginalizing any class of persons. Whether you're a child, whether you're an old person, you're female, these are simply bodies. They're bodies, they don't have any bearing with our real identity. So someone may be a female now. So what? So what for what translation? Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Bhagavan, Lord Shiva, api, also, tat, that, sutra, hearing, pahasya, smiling, agadadi, whose intelligence is unfathomed. Ripa, O King, whose name silent, Bahuva, remained, Sadasi, in the assembly, Sabya, everyone assembled there, Cha, and Tat Anuvrataha, followed Lord Shiva, remained silent. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, His Confoundacharya, Srila Vaishnavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's kid. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear King, here in Sri Chuketu stadium, Lord Shiva, the most powerful personality, whose knowledge is fathomless, simply smiled and remained silent. And all the members of the assembly followed the Lord by not saying anything. Please respond to repeat. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear King, after hearing Chitraketu's statement, Lord Shiva, the most powerful personality, whose knowledge is fathomless, simply smiled and remained silent. And all the members of the assembly followed the Lord by not saying anything. poet. Chitraketu's purpose in criticizing Lord Shiva is somewhat mysterious and cannot be understood by a common man. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, however, has made the following observations. Lord Shiva, being the most exalted Vaishnava and one of the most powerful demigods, is able to do anything he desires. Although he was externally exhibiting the behavior of a common man and not following etiquette, such actions cannot diminish his exalted position. The difficulty is that a common man seeing Lord Shiva's behavior might follow his example. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 3:21, yad yad acharati sristas tatta evattarojana. So yad pramanam purte lokasta anvatate. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. A common man might also criticize Lord Shiva like Daksha, who suffered the consequences for his criticism. King Chitraketu desired that Lord Shiva sees this external behavior so that others might be saved from criticizing him and thus becoming offenders. He wanted that Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the only perfect personality, whereas the demigods, even such demigods as Lord Shiva, are inclined to improper social affairs. He is an offender. Considering all this, King Chitraketu was somewhat harsh in his behavior with Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, who is always deep in knowledge, could understand Chitraketu's purpose, and therefore he was not at all angry. Rather, he simply smiled and remained silent. The members of the assembly surrounding Lord Shiva could also understand Chitraketu's purpose. Consequently, following the behavior of Lord Shiva, they did not protest. Indeed, instead, following their master, they remained silent. If the members of the assembly thought that Chitraketu had blasphemed Lord Shiva, they would certainly have left at once, blocking the ears with their hands. Om Gyanata Nirandasya Gyanata Nasalakaya Saksur Malitam Jainatasmai Si Guru Benaha Sichetanya Manovistam Stapitam Jainabhutale Swayam Rupam Kadayam Vedati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatalibya Chakripa Sumabhya Evacha Pratitana Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutali Semat Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinam Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravana Pichara Nibishya Sarai Sangharani Pachitya Vasatami. So, I'm happy to be here because I know there are a number of very vibrant devotees here. And Rohini is petitioning me to come and stay here for some days. But I became impersonally, I became an offender because I couldn't fulfill the desire because of one reason or the other. So I beg you, forgive me. I hope that if Krishna gives me the chance, I would love to come and spend some time with you guys and get your blessings. Because, I'm like a rolling stone. I gather blessings all over the place. As I move around, I gather blessings from here and there. So, this is a very interesting story with practical application in our everyday reality and in our devotional culture. You are familiar with this whole episode of Chitraketu's encounter with Lord Shiva and Parvati. Chitraketu is an exalted personality, exalted king, a devotee of Sankrishna. Once he was traveling in his airplane, he encountered Lord Shiva and Parvati in a very amazing assembly of saintly persons. And Chitraketu, he observed, he saw that Lord Shiva, instead of, you know, being attentive to the audience, he was embracing his consort, his wife. Can you imagine? If someone comes to the temple to give a class, if a Grihastha comes to the temple to give a class, and he comes to give a class, and you know, the people are coming, and then, you know, his wife goes to sit on his lap, and then he's embracing his wife right there before the assembly. He's embracing his wife before the assembly of the devotees. What would be a reaction? You will laugh and say, "Oh, Jai Prabhu." So, it's a big challenge, it's a big temptation, you know. For anybody. It's like a trap. You know, Lord Shiva is also funny. And, you know, sometimes he simply creates a situation for people to be victimized by the illusory energy. And this is a typical case. He easily gives reward, but at the same time, he also takes away the reward. Or he easily punishes also. So here is a case where Lord Shiva was acting very abnormally, externally abnormally. And Chitraketu couldn't tolerate his senses. Listen to this. Chitraketu could not tolerate his senses and his mind. Lord Krishna mentions in the Gita, tap, tiksha, bharata. Tolerate the urges, the pushes of the senses, otherwise they will lead into trouble, isn't it? So here's the typical case. Chitraketu could not tolerate, you know, the urges of the mind, the senses, if they're pushing him. Come on, say something. And, you know, the vocal cavity opened up. He started laughing when he saw, you know, this scenario. He said, "What? You know, he was thinking, he was literally saying, what is going on here? Lord Shiva, he is an exalted personality. And, you know, all seven persons know that, you know, Vaishnava Varnam Yata Sambhu, Lord Shiva is the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. And the greatest of all the Vaishnavas should be exemplary. And here, Lord Shiva was not being exemplary. Because otherwise, how could he embrace, I mean, his wife in the assembly?" So there's a lot of confusion here in Chitraketu's mind. So Chitraketu fell prey to the temptation. So he criticized Lord Shiva. And Prabhupada mentions to the Prabhupada that the intent of Chitraketu was not just to belittle Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva also knew this. That is why Lord Shiva did not, you know, respond in a negative way. Lord Shiva just smiled. And then he kept silent. Can you imagine someone criticizing you and you just smile? But, you know, there are cases like that. I remember the case of Abhimanyu's sister, when Krishna placed some trees and disguised in the form of Abhimanyu, went to Abhimanyu's house to, you know, have some rapport with Radharani. So the sister was there, and then he saw Krishna enter in the guise of Abhimanyu, dressed like Abhimanyu, everything. And so then the real Abhimanyu comes, and then coming to knock on the gate. And you know, Abhimanyu's sister was so furious He thought that that is Krishna, who is just coming to, you know, play some disguise. But the real Krishna has already gone in, into their house. And so, he chastised Abhimanyu seriously, abused him, all type of things. But you know what Abhimanyu did? He thought, oh, some ghost must have taken over my sister. So let me do something about it. Let me go check for a ghost, a charmer, to exorcise the ghost. Can you imagine? You are with your younger sister, you are the one sponsoring her in college, you came back from work, and instead of opening the door, she opened the door, saw you, and started abusing you. That was the case of Abhimanyu. But Abhimanyu, he was compassionate. He did not respond, he did not react. Rather, he was proactive. There's reaction, there is proaction. Proaction means someone does something silly, you are cogitating, you are cracking your brain how to help that person. Reaction means he does something silly and you try to pay back or punish it, the person immediately. So Lord Shiva was really proactive here. He was not reactive. And so we find that the process of Krishna consciousness is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. Because it calls for character development. It calls for higher values. It calls for unlimited tolerance. So here are typical cases where people are really vituperated, abused, or criticized. And, you know, they just, we are very proactive, even not reactive. So we find that in Chituketu's case, Lord Shiva was silent. Other of Lord Shiva's associates, the silly persons who were there in the assembly, they were also silent because they could also understand the intentionality of King Chituketu. Now, intentionality is very, very important. It's so important that even in legal circles, in criminology, intentionality plays a very prominent role. If someone is killed by another person, the court will evaluate the intentionality, the intention of that person. Was it a planned action? Was it a deliberate action? If that cannot be proved in the court, they penalize the person that the judge or the jury will mete out a disciplinary action based on another charge, which is manslaughter, not murder. So again, in dealing with the Lord, also the Lord is very conscientious about our intentions. And his devotees are also very much, very, very concerned. They evaluate us based on our intentions. So here, Lord Shiva understood the intentions of Chituketu. It was not meant for evil. The other silly persons in the assembly also, they could understand the intentions of Chituketu. It was not meant to ridicule Lord Shiva. But the point is, Lord Chituketu was harsh. He was harsh. And Mpavati couldn't tolerate Chituketu's harshness, Chituketu's impudence. You see, sometimes we could be bold to point out faults in some people. Hey, you do like this, you do like this, this is again disaster, you nonsense. We don't examine ourselves. Each time we point accusing fingers to someone, three of the fingers are pointing towards us. the fault we find in someone, that fault is in us. That's what we find is in that person. There's an axiom in the Vaishnava Vedanta. Atma Bhav Manyate Jagat. Everybody tends to project himself into the whole world. If I'm a dacoit, I won't trust anybody, because anybody I see must be a dacoit. If I'm a pure devotee, I will only see Lord Vishnu in the heart of each and every one. I won't see the bodies. Therefore, if I see even a dog, I'll pay obeisances. That is the principle of Atma Bhav Manyate Jagat. Lord Chitraketu himself is a householder, and he is now making jest of someone who is romancing his wife. Sometimes we do this very often in our temples. Someone is a householder, he comes to give a class, very brahmacharic class, condemn the women, how they are just Maya. Then he sleeps with a woman every day in his house. So, we have to be careful. We don't use the scriptures to simply be emotional abusers. Here is a typical case where Chitraketu was emotionally abusing Lord Shiva. Emotional abuse is a global crime. And there are several ways we could emotionally abuse people. Parents could even emotionally abuse their children. A spouse could emotionally abuse his or her spouse. There are so many ways. Just by neglecting, take for instance, you feel your husband or your wife did something you didn't like. So you said, so in your mind you feel, no, I'm not talking to him, or I'm not talking to her. You slam her or you slam him. No talking. That is called emotional abuse. People do the things, even in a movement. People do the things. The people who are even team leaders have seen this, practically everywhere. They have all of these things have been violated. It is even worse in cases where people are even perpetrating violation of fundamental human rights. And it's going on in a movement. It is going on. So, we have to see in our actions how we are not subjugating people to emotional abuse. Because the beauty of Krishna consciousness is that whatever we do, the reaction is just waiting for us. There's a chastisement has already been arranged. Each time we hurt someone, our chastisement is already been arranged. So here, Parvati, who is more or less Durga, she met her the punishment. she met her the punishment to Chitraketu without any qualms. She described Chitraketu as an upstart. Upstart means someone who is just a beginner. So she said, Lord Brahma is there. Kapila is there. The Mahajans, they are there. And you have the God to come and mess up my daddy, my husband. You have the God, you are an obstacle. You must be a rascal. You made some punishment. You made some punishment, you know. So, Parvati cursed Chitraketu. But again, the amazing thing about the curse is that, you know, Chitraketu, he was not, being cursed, he didn't go into despondency or, you know, depression. Oh, I've been cursed now to become a demon. Oh my goodness, watch. He was just jubilant, happy. In fact, he even worshipped Parvati. Sakamam blitted her and paid obeisances. And then after that, Lord Shiva was so much in ecstasy. He spoke to Parvati, just see the devotees of Lord Vishnu. See the position. You caught this guy. Look at his reaction. I mean, look at the way he responded. So we find out, for a devotee, whether you sent to Patala Loka, you sent to Swaga Loka, the only factor is, would I be able to remember Krishna? That is a concern of the devotee. And what that really means for us is that whatever phase of existence we are passing through, whatever challenges we may pass through in our lives, we should understand that there is a Krishna factor. We should depend on Krishna. If we don't have challenges, we may not be able to grow in our devotional life. Just like a child or a student is evaluated by examination. The teacher, the professor, doesn't mean evil for the child. So challenges, guaranteed, we will all have the challenges that is defeating us. We have to be able to pass those challenges. We have to pass the exams. We will be scrutinizingly examined. And we have to be proficient enough. We have to demonstrate that, yes, I understood Krishna consciousness. I am a practitioner of Krishna consciousness. This is a challenge. This is a temptation. And I'm dependent on Krishna and Guru Maharaj. And I'm praying for their mercy to be able to pass through this hurdle. It's not that, you know, we have some challenges and then we say, is there really Krishna? I've been telling Hare Krishna for the past 10 years. Why should this happen to me? So, Chita Kedu is mentioned that he was an exalted devotee of Sankarsana, a devotee of Lord Vishnu. But he got cursed. Of course, he was impudent. So, it is important for us to understand that Lord Chaitanya's principle holds sway in all circumstances for our Ahuituki Apratyata, for our sustainable Krishna consciousness. Trinadapi Suneshena Tarora Saheshena Amana Manandhya Kitani Sadhara. If we're not humble, if we become puffed up by some little position we have. Little position means, you know, if someone is given something to do, he wants to see, he sees himself as a controller. The manager sees themselves as a controller in the home. So if even someone frustrates them in the office, their boss frustrates them in the office, other workers frustrate them in the office, they harass them or whatever, you know, they carry that frustration. When they come home, they download that frustration on the wife and the children. This is just a way to just victimize people who are around us because we have so-called superior position. We have minute control importance within our environment. And so instead of using that position to try to uplift people in Krishna consciousness, we use that position simply to dehumanize them, demotivate them. And I've seen a lot of this. So, we have to figure out in our lives how we have to evaluate our humility. Lord Chaitanya did not just put these words in his Sisastakam for nothing. If we live one verse in his Sisastakam, we will become pure devotees in this life and go back to God. We live just one. Out of those 8 verses, we perfect one, we will become pure souls. And the most simple thing is taken for granted. And it is difficult to be humble because we have been living in these material bodies for millions and billions of lifetimes. So someone does something to us, we always think in terms of this body. Why did he do this to me? He didn't know how great I am. I am a sannyasi. I am a guru. I am a brahmachari. You know I'm superior to you. You need to worship me because I'm a brahmachari. And you see, the Pandava, none of them was a brahmachari. None of them was a sannyasi. Krishna was their, more or less, their order carrier, was their messenger. Krishna was sleeping with them. Krishna is sleeping with us. Krishna is sleeping with you in your room. So we have to be humble. The message is, we should be humble, otherwise the tongue will put us into trouble, like Chitakirtan. It's very easy for the tongue to put us into trouble. The mind will push the tongue to say something. And we may say something that may not be very favorable. That may not, someone may not be able to tolerate, and they say quarrel. You may not mean any bad, but some other person will misinterpret it, like poverty's case. She took it very seriously. She said, Chitakirti, you are impudent. You have been gassed. You're so bold. Even Lord Brahma couldn't do this. You! An obstacle. You're just beginning. Because you're a king, a Vishnu Bhakta. So what? Alright. You deserve to take birth in a sphere of family. That was it. So there are lots of things we could learn in this episode. Lots of things. If we are trying to be devotees, we should see how we are being respectful towards everyone. We should not think we are superior to anyone. The tendency is always there, you know, to think that I am better than you. You don't know? I've been in this movement before you. When did you come? I've been here for 10 years, so I am your senior. I've been here for 5 years before you, so I'm your senior. No, you are not senior because of the number of years you stayed in a place. What matters is your quality. You may be an elder, but it doesn't mean that you are a senior. It's just like children may be born. 3 children are born in the family. The first one is Govinda. Second one is Rishima. And the third one is a girl. Janaki Devi. So here, the fourth child, he just finished high school and he said, I'm not going to go to school anymore. It's okay. I'm going to get to work. He goes to work in a factory. The second child, he finishes high school. He told his father, I want to go to college. So the father said, okay, good boy. He's going to college. He finishes his first degree. He said, Daddy, I got admission to go and do an MBA. So Daddy said, okay, great. So go do your MBA, I'll sponsor you. So he finishes his MBA. He said, Daddy, I got an admission to go and do a PhD. So the daddy said, what? I didn't expect this from you. You're a real, you make me proud, you know. So the boy also finished his PhD. And when he comes, everybody's answering him, sa. Even his older brother is answering himself. Now, it's a typical case that he has an elder brother and he's a senior. He has qualities of life that is demanded, that is needed in society. He respects his elder brother very much. But the elder brother knows that this one is the one who will save our family. Let me follow whatever he tells me to do. They respect each other. And therefore, they don't miscue the fact that someone was born first and so he assumes a superior position for over everyone else for the rest of their lives. No. It is the achievement. Life is not measured by years, but by achievements. The trees, they live on for hundreds of years. Can we say a tree has achieved anything other than it's under the cold, it's under the summer, no clothing, nothing. But that does not imply that we should be disrespectful. This is the point. we should never be disrespectful. In our movement, it's just a complex situation that some of the children being born now are people who try to become perfected souls in their past life, and that there was some mistake, slight error in their life, and so Krishna gave them an opportunity to be born in the family of Vaishnavas. And so you may see the small child that I am a senior. But, you know, it's a matter of some few years, he becomes perfected and he goes back to Godhead. And I have to wait for several lifetimes. So who is the senior? We value people just based on this body, this lifetime. If we're really introspective, then we will learn to be respectful towards each and every one. Now, in some places you find there's a proper bull of demarcation. Not just a bull of demarcation, there's a friction between the householders and the brahmacharis. The brahmacharis are thinking, we are superiors, we are the real people, you know, we are the real children of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Papa was not a brahmachari. He became the one who was empowered to do the most wonderful work in the whole world. So we have to be careful. There's a lot to learn from Chitaketu's episode. We have to be careful. A devotional life is like a blade razor that can cut, give us a clean shave, and if we mishandle it, it will give us an injury that will take us to the clinic to see a doctor. And so Chitaketu's situation was such that although he didn't mean evil, he was just an advocate, so to say, of ethical values. So Prabhupada makes a reference to the verse in the Bhagavad Gita 3:21, which stipulates that, you know, whatever a great man does, the common man will follow. You can't say, you know, do what I say. No, it's not like that. You can tell a child, don't smoke, and you're smoking. It doesn't work in that way. So the whole of our process is a process of acharyaship, leading by exemplary standard. If you don't come to the Mangarati, you can't tell somebody. Temple commander cannot tell somebody, another devotee, hey, go to the Mangarati. What are you doing here? Go to the Mangarati. What are you doing in the ashram? You yourself. So, we have to understand, we have to have ethical values. There is Vaishnava ethical values that we should not really get to the background. If someone is doing something we don't understand, we should not just jump like Chitaketu and start blabbing. We should tell somebody, if we can't approach that person, we should tell somebody who can find out why the person is doing that. And if he merits some correction, then it should be corrected. Otherwise, we could also become pachandis, offenders. And it's very difficult for anybody to be victimized if you're just labeled, you're an offender. And again, if even someone is an offender, and this is an international organization, it is ruled by norms. And there is an ISKCON law book that stipulates how ISKCON should be organized, should be managed. Even in terms of reward and punishment. I'm saying this because I'm seeing so many anomalies in our movement. And I studied management. So we have to be aware about what is to be done and what is not to be done. Power. I was mentioning some few weeks ago on my Facebook wall, how power is very intoxicating. Power is more intoxicating than even a psychedelic drug. Power can catapult anyone to offensive realms. Look at the case of Chitaketu. Power. He's a king, he's a Vaishnava, I'm a great devotee, I have money. I'm also a king. So, He jumped in God. It's a typical case. What power can do? They were highly elevated personalities right there in the assembly. If it is correction, they are the ones who are supposed to correct Lord Shiva. I mean, can you imagine? Okay, if in an assembly your Guru Maharaj is there, he's seen everybody. And the temple president is also there, he's seen everybody. He's seen all the devotees, how they behave, and whatever. And someone just comes. And then he points to one devotee. You know, says, why are you doing this? Blah, 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 blah. But the people who are there are capable to see any wrong with that person and be able to correct it. There is so much to say, so much to learn from this scenario. And therefore, if we are meaningfully caretakers of each other, we will not have reason to criticize or to met out destructive criticism. Criticism is not a bad thing. There are two major categories of criticism. There is destructive criticism, there is constructive criticism. What Chitra Ketu was doing was actually a constructive criticism, but he was harsh. That was the evaluation of Parvati. And Parvati has the powers. She's Durga herself. She has the powers. Durga is the one who makes out punishment to the living entities. So, again, we have to be very merciful, compassionate, and see how we can help people grow in their Krishna consciousness. And if we're doing that, Krishna will help us to pave through all of our challenges. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna. If there are some comments or some questions at this point, it's already 9 o'clock, and I don't like taking extra time in a class because I know everybody is a busy fellow on this planet. Yes.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Very wonderful class, a lot of learnings. You made a statement that we should not use scriptures for emotionally abusing others. Can you please elaborate on that? Can you please
elaborate on that? Yeah. Okay, I'll give an example. Now, you know, in our sastra it is mentioned the paramounts of devotional service. Devotional service, even I was reading in Amrita Vani, of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Amrita Vani, and he said, Krishna is the supporter of everyone. Everyone else is being supported. Krishna is the supporter. Now, it is also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is the source of everything. Bhagavad Gita also, where Krishna mentioned, Am Sarvasya Prabhava Mata Sarvam Prabhata Iti Mam Pajanti Mam Buddha Bhava Samavita. I'm the source of everything. Those who worship me, they are really intelligent. Now, we can say, someone, for instance, who is married, he has a wife, and children, teenagers, maybe one of them 10 years, the other one 5 years, and he comes to the temple to do puja. And he stays in the temple all through the day, and he goes back home just to go and sleep. Now, a child and a woman, they need quality time from the husband, especially for devotees. They need that emotional support. The opposite of emotional abuse is emotional support. Someone is feeling depressed, and just sweet words can elevate that person's consciousness. Now, why who wants to do that if the husband is not there? And essentially, whatever we are doing, even we are doing devotional service, we have so much of interest in devotion. Good. But again, we should do proper integration of our secular or domestic duties and our devotional obligations. If we neglect one side, it becomes an emotional abuse. It means that you're not really giving that family the support they need to grow in the Krishna consciousness. Which woman in this world wants to marry a man? And I've seen a case in a movement where a girl was engaged to a devotee. They are all devotees. And the male devotee, he just keeps traveling. He's involved in some type of work, teaching people in different areas. You know, martial arts. He's a martial arts coach. So he was traveling like a sannyasi, you know, like a paramahansa. And so, I mean, after some few months, the girl went and said, "I'm not into this relationship. We have to, you know, discontinue. We have to break the engagement. I saw it." So I asked her, "Why?" "He's a very nice guy." He said, "Vasudev, we're not going to eat niceness. If I need a husband, I need also that tender care from the husband. This is a personal interaction. Because I query, why are you saying you're not going to marry this guy?" He said he's unavailable. He's traveling around like a sannyasi. So why he wants to marry? He should take sannyas. That's what she told me. So I'm not just preaching. I've encountered some situations. Now, and you see, if we're not being available for our wife and our children, we're not giving that emotional support, no woman is going to be happy. If you like, give her all your salary at the end of the month. It's not just about money. It's about interpersonal relationship, quality time. That is when, you see, when a woman is talking to a responsible man, she feels that is a psychological satisfaction just from that. And so if the man is not available, then, you know, what is the use of the marriage? She will become depressed. And when she is depressed, it will affect also the children. If the mother is not happy, the children are also going to be affected. And I've seen this in our movement. The people who are doing it, you know that they're deliberately doing it, but they don't even know the effect of it on their family life. So that is a typical case of emotional abuse. Someone using the scripture to rationalize. "I'm doing it for, you know, I'm a devotee, I'm dedicated to Krishna, because Krishna said if you water," I mean, Bhagavatam says, "If you water the root of the tree, the whole tree will blossom." So I'm worshipping Lord Krishna, dedicating my life to Lord Krishna. Then you don't need a wife. That's it. You serve full time. You don't need a wife. If you have a wife, you have to be socially, domestically, psychologically responsible. That's the point. Is it clear?
How Chitraketu was emotionally abusing Lord Shiva?
Yeah, because Chitraketu slighted Lord Shiva. Each time you talk some things that is hurting on someone to someone, you have emotionally abused the person. It's a whole complex thing. I'll give you another story. In the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, before, these words are not right, they're not used, but because that's the area I studied, so you can really figure out. Oh, this is a case of emotional abuse. This is a case of emotional abuse. Now, like before, during the prayer over the puja, there was an incident where Krishna addressed Nanda Maharaj. They were all abusing, making preparations. Krishna was just 7 years old, Puganda age at that time. So he was just watching. They were all busy making some preparations and all this stuff. So he was just looking on. And nobody would tell him anything. Because 7 years old, traditionally, you know, most majority of people, they don't care. They make the preparations and, you know, they go ahead. If they want to even move from Punjabi back to Mumbai, they won't tell the 7 years old child. They will always say, "All right, let's go. One day." The child's friends and all the things, they just cut him off or cut her off. That is emotional abuse. In America, if that child makes a mistake to report to such a work, the parents are going to jail. It's that serious. The parents are going to jail. That is a case where you are relocating, you are going to another place. You didn't inform the child. So, they were busy making all the preparation for Govardhan Puja. I mean, for the worship of Indra, not really Govardhan Puja, but the worship of Indra. And Krishna was all watching. So nobody tell him anything, and so he got fed up and told Nanda Baba, please sit down. I see you making all preparations. What is it for? And then Nanda Maharaj explained. He said, preaching to Nanda Maharaj, see, you are a saintly person. A saintly person should not hide anything from his friend. I am your son, but I'm also your friend. Why you have to hide things from me? Krishna was demanding this 7 years old, for Ganga age. What is it? What does this mean to us? It's just some lila. We purify ourselves with the lila. And that's it. No. There should be some application. We have to bring that down to our everyday reality. How do we deal with our children? So you see, whole stuff. See, the point is, you see, when I was doing my master's, I specialized in advancement of philosophy for children. So it makes a whole different scenario. Evaluations and all the rest of them. I can see some things in the Bhagavatam or in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I'll be able to tally that with the secular setting. What is going on there? So this is that they are also in our scripture. Look at the case of Prahlad. He was terrorized by his father. That was, murder attempt. Not just only abuse, but it was also the murder attempt. You think in this present era anybody would do that to their son? No, they'll call the police. In some countries, I'll give you an example. For instance, in America, you can't even yell at your child. And you know what? Each time you tell your wife, hey, shut up there, sit down there, you're emotionally abusing her. If it's in America, she can call the police. And you're going to jail. It's not a joke. It's not a laughing matter. And a number of the women in our movement, you go close to them and find out what is going on in their families, they are not happy. I know. Even right here in Delhi. I know. Because, I relate with people very closely, so I know all this stuff. Someone was telling me something yesterday, and I told him that. I already know. He was surprised. So, the point is, we have to be able to see how we are improving. There is no limit to our improvement. Krishna consciousness is a dynamic process, and there is no limit to our spiritual evolution. We have to be able to come to a level. We are someone in sorcerers, like Chitakata did to Lord Shiva, and we just smile and keep silent. And not fight back. Or not call the police. Why? Why is that? Why did Lord Shiva do that? You see, if you hurt a sadhu, he may not talk to you. He may not respond. He may not react. But your chastisement is already been arranged by higher powers. That is the consolation in spiritual culture. So we should not think that this is just for fun. And there are a lot of things we could learn from that. So thank you very much, Rukmini, for bringing up that. Any other comments? Otherwise, we'll close the class here. We already be on time, and I know that. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Maharaj ki jai. Yeah, I'm not prepared to say I'm going to get into the strong house.
when I get stronger, I'm still on, you know, intensive treatment from the other guy.